1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Please turn with me there. We read verses 1 through 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So the context of Paul speaking in regards to there are many coming into the church from the community of the Thessalonians and accusing Paul of things that were not true. So Paul is going to refute them here in this text. It says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our education did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, for a cloak for covetousness, God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we may not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us now as we look into your word. We help that you would help our fathers, not only our fathers, but all of us, because you have called us, those of us who believe, and you desire that we walk worthy of you and the gospel that you've given to us in Christ. So we pray your blessing on our word now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I chose this text because it had a great impact upon my life. And this text was used to bring me to Grace Reformed Baptist Church. Now, for you, that might be not a good idea, but some of you might be thankful. But having been at a Pentecostal church for many years and not being taught the scriptures in the way that they should be taught, I'd happened to go to a breakfast for my daughter's school in Wantagh Baptist Church, and at that breakfast, this text was preached, verses 11 and 12. And there were, I think, 40 fathers there. And of the 40, I would venture to say three-quarters of whom were weeping after this text, because we realize that we have this great Heavenly Father who loves us, but we are fathers imperfect at best, and we need the grace of God, and hopefully that will be clear this morning as we look into this text. I also chose it because it contains two analogies that will help me to address not only fathers, but mothers, and all men and women this morning. So if you think you're getting away with anything this morning, ladies and men who are not fathers, you're not. The analogies are that of nursing mothers and fathers with children, though the title of my message is Effective Fathering. You wives, moms, single women, and men are not going to leave this morning unscathed. I figure if my life was altered by this text, perhaps the Lord would use it to impact others this morning. But the original purpose of this text was to defend Paul's ministry and Paul's opponents from outside the church, the unbelieving citizens of the Thessalonic, and I'm going to struggle with this, Thessalonica accused him of being insincere, interested only in winning praise from others and receiving money. Paul presents several arguments to defend his integrity and that of his co-workers, Silas and Timothy, during their past ministry in Thessalonica. So here we have in chapter 2, if you would with me, come to the first verse where it says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." He reminds the brethren that they knew his coming to them was not in vain. The word vain means empty. He wanted them to know that he did not come to take a rest from the persecutions that he had just went through at Philippi. We know that because the next verse starts with the word but, to refute any idea that he came just to relax, just to heal his wounds from what had happened to him at Philippi. And so in verse 2, you'll see it says, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know," he keeps saying to them, "as you know," he was amongst them. He gave his whole life to them. They knew who Paul was. But these outsiders were coming in to discredit Paul. And Paul had to remind them that they knew exactly who Paul was. And he says, "As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." By the way, I probably won't get there, but you fathers will know conflict when you're trying to teach your kids the gospel. You'll know that when you begin a devotion that they either start laughing or they ignore you or whatever they do. It's part of living the difficult father life. We'll get into more of that. But Paul came for no other reason than to preach the gospel to these people. Not because of, but in spite of the fact that he and Silas had just endured such harsh treatment at Philippi, having been brutally beaten, thrown in prison, imprisoned in stocks in Acts chapter 16. Paul was a man, though, with a goal. He was a man with a mission. He was a man sent by the command of God. And we know that because in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he tells us that it was by God's command. And we see in Acts how God converted Paul. Paul would have to overcome his fears that he knew more persecutions would await him and more lies would be told by his enemies about him. Let's not miss the fact, brethren, that his boldness and his courage came not from himself. In this text, you see it says, but from God. It was God who gave him the courage, that he and Silas were bold in our God. Brethren, that's the only way we can be bold, to give the gospel not only to others, but to our children even. Because it takes patience and boldness to continue to minister to our children. Here, Paul needed to remind them that they knew he didn't come to benefit himself. It was about their benefit. And brethren, we need to remind our children that everything we do for them is for their benefit, whether they believe it or not. He needs to remind them how he conducted himself among them, that his credibility could not be undermined by these enemies. If they could taint Paul's character, if his character could be questioned, it could undermine his work in the gospel in that church. The Thessalonians would not take the message of the gospel seriously from a self-centered, money-hungry preacher. The Thessalonians were obviously a little more understanding and swift about understanding that they would not accept a preacher who was out for their money. Unfortunately, in our day, many people blindly follow money-hungry preachers, helping them to build mansions and buy jets. The insanity of the church in America is evident by that fact. We can take a number of applications from these first two verses. Of course, preachers of the gospel should walk worthy of the gospel that they preach. They need to be men of character, men of integrity. But this not only should be goal for preachers, it should be goal for all men, all those who have the opportunity to bear truth to the witness of the gospel. If you show no character or integrity, whether it's on your job or to your neighbors or anyone outside the church, they will not hear what you have to say. But even more important, as this message is primarily to you fathers, but not solely, your character, your integrity, your concern for those in your family, your wife and your children, will greatly impact the gospel message you present to them, to your children. Your children will not hear your words if you are a self-centered, self-loving person in your home. How they see you treat your wife will definitely tell them who you really are. Are you the same at home that you are at church? It goes for all of us. Are you the same at home or at church? Or like you, of some who are hypocrites. Now look, we all compromise at some time. I'm not saying we don't sin. But are we putting on a mask at church while being a crank, a tyrant at home? Do you show the concern for your children as Paul shows his concern here for his spiritual children? Are you diligent in reminding your children of the gospel of sin and its eternal consequences? Or are you too busy? Are we too lazy? Or are we too afraid that we can't teach the children the truth of God? We have made the announcement this morning, if you have problems teaching your children the truth of God, you might want to start right here at the catechism for boys and girls. And I'm sure adults could use it too. This was written a while ago, so it's in English that even adults could get. As you know, many of you read the old stuff. It's challenging to read, but it's so good and so good. With this catechism, you might want to start and even continue with that. Even continue it for yourself, as we did this morning in Sunday school. We need the catechism to continue to remind us of the real truths of the gospel. It's amazing. Your children are not going to beat you up or put you in prison like they did Paul. Paul worked hard among all of these people, as well as they could see his love and concern for them. Are we too busy with TV, sports, hobbies, job? I love hobbies. But the gospel is what we are called to be worthy of, to present to our children and to all those who we can present it to. What are we doing? What is our priority? Do we truly love Christ and his kingdom? We need to make the sacrifice to do the work of a father, of a man, who is sold out to Christ. You won't do it perfectly. I'm an example of one who did not do it perfectly by any stretch. I have regrets. I wish I did more. But if we follow this text and we make it our own, we won't have as many regrets. You will never regret spending time teaching your children the Word of God, showing them the love of Christ for their souls. Don't just help them play sports. Don't just help them get into a university. Nothing's wrong with either of those. But it's not going to help them go to heaven. It's not going to help them with their souls. We need to keep the right perspective as fathers and mothers and men and women, especially involved in the church. We need to have the courage, the selfless love to be in prayer, in the Word, in order to bring a word in season to our children. Be strong and courageous, the Bible tells us, fathers. Don't wimp out. You will never have the same chances that you have now when your children leave your home. Single men, you're not getting away with anything here. You're not getting scot-free. Your character, your integrity, your growth in grace will help you tremendously when and if you get married. No godly woman wants to marry a wimp. They read here about the Apostle Paul and his courage, and they dream of meeting a man who has the courage and strength from the Lord. And they certainly don't want some macho knucklehead, headstrong with his stinking pride, which we all have. We need to, again, take note of Paul, a single man coming, loving the people of this church. All women who are godly would want a man who is strong yet tender, a man growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ, a compassionate, selfless, loving man. Men, what are we doing growing in the Lord? I haven't seen all of you whether married or single, at all the prayer meetings, the men's Bible study, of course, unless you were there when I wasn't there and I missed you. I don't think that's the case. How about evening services? How about helping in ministries? How about like doing the needed work around the church? We certainly could use more deacons in our church, not because our deacons don't do a good job, but because there's always more to do. But if you're not doing what is required at home, then being a deacon is not in your future. What are we doing for the kingdom of God at home and here in the church? Ladies, you're not out of the woods either. Wives, are you respecting your husbands? If you have children, do they see you honor your husband? Do they see you encouraging him in his walk with the Lord? Or are you criticizing him for what he's not doing? If he's not stepping up to do the work, encourage him to meet with the pastors to help him out. Also, get him a good book on how to teach the children. It's easy to go through questions and answers, and the children learn very well. Maybe he'll get the message if you encourage him. And men, when your wife cares enough to recommend help and encourage you, take her advice and don't let your pride get in the way. The worst mistakes I've ever made in my life is not taking my wife's advice, ignoring her because I knew. I was a finance guy. I knew what to do. Stinking pride will always get in the way if you're not seeking God and asking him, praying to get rid of that pride that we all have. Humble yourself. Take her advice. That's why she's been made your helpmate. That's why she's there. She is to help you. Women, it's not to criticize, it's to help and to encourage. Single ladies, make sure you use this text today to determine the man you seek. Has the character, the courage, the love of Christ in his heart, and the wisdom from God, from the Word of God, so that your children will have a real man, not a perfect man, but a man who by grace will fight like Paul, fight his fears, and make his priority your soul and the souls of your children. Look at verse 3. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it from deceit. These three missionaries, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, were called by God. We know this is a fact, as I mentioned, from all the scriptures that involve all three men. They appealed to them, to the Thessalonians. They pleaded with them with sympathy to come to Christ and be saved. Paul, a selfless, loving apostle, knew that their wicked ways were no worse than his own before he was saved, for Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. We see in this verse that their motive did not come from error or from uncleanness, nor was it a deceit. It was a motive driven by selfless love, the love of Christ by the Holy Spirit, a sacrificial love that gives and does not take, one that desired the salvation of their souls and expected nothing from them. This is a message for all the church, a sacrificial love for the brethren, to sacrifice our lives, to consider others more important than ourselves, to give selflessly. The next few verses, Paul refutes the obvious slur of his opponents and that he and his companions' motives, they said, was delusional or an error, impure, full of deceit and trickery. It's always a strategy of false teachers to accuse those who are teaching the truth of exactly what they're teaching, error. The false teachers always accuse us of teaching error, which is exactly what they're doing. It is the characteristic of Paul to directly refute charges of all false teachers with positive evidence of his motive of love and sacrificial service. If you don't get the message of love and sacrificial service by grace this morning, then you're not even here. This is all who Paul was. Says verse 4. But we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Paul refutes the fact that they were delusional and not teaching truth. All men these men were approved by God. Their motive was to please man and not God. The biggest problem with us is fear of man, is it not? Pleasing man and not God. We need to pray that God would help us not to fear man, but to fear him. They preached the gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ alone. And the proof that they were preaching the truth was that they were being criticized. Whenever you preach the truth, you're going to be criticized. That's just the reality of what it is. In Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Paul, Silas, and Timothy were bondservants of Christ under the command of God, and they only spoke truth. Their motive was to please God. Fathers, is your motive to please God? Men, women, children, is your motive to please God? Do you wake up each morning, fathers, with the goal of pleasing God? Is your one of your first prayers in the morning, "Lord, help me to please you this day"? That's a prayer he answers. When you pray that prayer, he answers it, because that's his will, that you would please him every day. Now, we know we fall short, but when we pray according to the will of God, he hears us and he answers our prayers. The second charge that we note is that their motives were not pure. They were being accused of impure motives, flattery, or a desire for material gain. Paul addresses this in verses 5 and 6. Take a look with me. "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, for a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor do we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." Paul did not come with flattering words to deceive them or disguise for greed, and did not seek man's honor or approval, even their approval. He didn't even seek their approval. Preachers of the gospel need not seek their approval. Fathers, you need not seek the approval of your children when you're preaching. Give them the gospel. He reminds them that they know that there was no flattery or greed, and God is their witness, Paul says. They could have used his office, the office of being an apostle, to demand that they assist them in their material needs while they were there. Yet they did not. They could have done it by the word of God. He says in verse 7, but look, he says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her children." Women, you can relate, who have children, cherishing your children. "Rather than being demanding, fathers, they were gentle. As a nursing mother cherishes her baby, keeps the baby close, warm, and fondling that baby she gave birth to. So Paul gave spiritual birth by God's grace to these Thessalonians, and he was gentle. He was gracious among them." That is our Father in heaven. He is gentle, and he is gracious, and he is compassionate to us. That should be a characteristic of a man filled with the Spirit of God. Don't look at me. I fail. But by God's grace, we pray that God would give us that ability to be that kind of gentle. Remember, Paul tells Timothy, when people come against you, don't argue with them being angry, but be gentle. Answer gently. Give them the gospel. Mothers, are you gently bringing your children along in the Lord? It's tough on many days for you ladies. I remember when I worked full time, it was a lot easier for me to work than it was for the women to deal with children 24 hours a day. Amazing work that a mother does, just absolutely amazing. But it's tough on many days, isn't it? You need the patience and endurance that Paul had by grace. Are you feeding moms? Are you feeding on the Word of God? Are you growing in grace, being filled with the Spirit? Are you attending the Bible study? Are you desiring to be filled with God's Word and His Spirit so that you might do the work that you've been called to do for your children? You need the Spirit to have wisdom to properly encourage the children in the gospel. Now look at verse 8 with me. "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. He loved the Thessalonians. They had become dear to him. He was their father, their spiritual father, fathers. He gave his life. Do we have such selfless love for our families and our children, fathers? Men, do you have that selfless love for your fellow believers, your brethren? Women, do you have that love? Do you have that sacrificial love that we're called upon even by Paul in Romans chapter 12? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This is what Paul's desire was for this church. That's our desire for God, Christ's church, that we would argue over sanctification this morning, that we would come and share with one another the gospel, the truths of Scripture, iron sharpening iron all the time, getting stronger in the Lord, not weaker in the Lord, stronger, being together, working with each other, yes, boldly arguing with each other, not being mad, but arguing, debating. Your arguing today is about getting angry. That's not what arguing is. It's debating the truth with love, with gentleness. Paul says he's so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart not only the gospel, but our own lives, because you had been dear to us. Fathers, do we have that love that Paul had for his children that compels us to give our lives to their nurturing? It's imperative that you have these motives of Paul to bring the gospel with every opportunity that we have to the children and to others. Are we with them at dinner, loving them, bringing the word to them, regardless of whether they appreciate it or not? Are we ambassadors for Christ with no selfish motive, but a God-given motive to train up our children in the way they should go? Make sure, fathers, that your children are at church with you on Sundays. While they're under your roof, they must be obedient to your commands. If they don't obey, discipline them appropriately until they come to their senses. I'm saying being gentle, but do the work of a bold and courageous father and mother. Love suffers long. It does not give up. Just as Paul was entrusted with the gospel and he spoke continuously to them. It's in verse 4, the tense of the word bringing the gospel to them, speaking to them, was continuous. It never stopped. He kept bringing it. Fathers, we are to bring continuously the love of Christ to our children. Look, we all grow weary, but the way to keep on keeping on is to be in the word and in prayer continually, crying out to God for grace to do what he calls us to do, to sacrifice our own desires. How much do we have to continue to hear that we are to consider others more important than ourselves? Man, true love does not seek its own. It bears all things, it believes all things, and it hopes all things, and it endures all things, true love. It endures. Wives, this is for you too. If you have a believing husband, he is to be the man that God called to be, but he's not perfect, and you were given to be that helpmate. So please continue with your undying support and your respect, and you will be blessed, and your family will be blessed. God is sovereign, brother. Nothing will happen in our families that he has not ordained for our good if we are in Christ. So honor your husband, children, honor your parents, your call to honor them, to give them the more than respect, to elevate your parents, older children, elevate them in honor. God has given them to you. You need to honor and elevate them. We need to encourage them in prayer and word. Not because I told you so, but we need to encourage our husbands, We are to love our wives, and we are to encourage our children, and we are to give our lives for one another. Paul toiled night and day. We are to toil night and day for those whom we love. Paul loved these people. He toiled so that they wouldn't have any burden upon them at all. He won them with his godly conduct, his Christ-like patience. Jesus is our great example, isn't he not? We wash the disciples' feet. Even the one who would betray him, he washed his feet. He stooped down, washing his feet, knowing what would happen in just a few hours. Single men and ladies, pray and seek the Lord for the same love, the same grace. We don't have this grace at once. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. You need men and single men, women, you need to hide the word in your hearts. If you are to find that special one to marry, you need to be prepared to give your life to the one you love and to their children. In the meantime, give your life to the service of the kingdom of God. Remember, Paul said it's great. Marriage is great. It's good to be married. But you can't give everything when you're married because you have your family to take care of. But if you're single, you don't have your family to take care of. You have the kingdom of God to work in, to give, to sacrifice in. Paul did this all by God's grace. Big discussion this morning. All by God's grace. All by spending much time in prayer, not wasting time on things that would take us away from the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus gave his very life for those he loves. He shed his blood for all those who his Father gave him. He shed his blood out of love for them and love for his Father, knowing the love of his Father that he had for him. He took upon himself his Father's wrath for sin. Your sin and my sin, he took upon himself because of his love and his honor of his Father and obedience to him. And he hung on a tree in shame for you and for me. The triune God did this all for us, for our salvation, that we would have eternal life in him. In spite of our hating him and didn't want to submit to him at all. None of us before we were saved wanted to submit to him. But he did. He reconciled us to himself by his Son, and we would glorify, so that we would glorify and imitate him to a lost and dying world. We're called to give our lives, our gifts, our love to those whom God has given to us. True love bears the fruit. Hear this. True love bears the fruit of giving away. Giving ourselves away. Getting rid of ourselves. Don't you hate talking to yourself all the time? Like, I hate being alone a lot because I talk to myself. And I get sick of myself. I don't know about you. I get sick of me. But we are true love, gives ourselves away. Paul's love was a fruit of the life that he loved. He loved Christ, and he wanted to give himself away because of Christ's love for him. Look at verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preached the gospel to you. It was not in word only, it was in deed. It's a message for all of us. It's not just what we say, it's what we do. He would not even put a burden on them to take care of his needs, though he had the right to do that. It was their eternal souls that Paul was interested in. That's all he was interested in. Yes, he loved them as people. He wanted to help them. He wanted to do anything he could for them. He toiled night and day. Fathers, this is for us, especially if we're raising children at home. This is the appointed grace that God has given to fathers. It's an essential grace. For essential fathering, we need his grace to bring up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. This is a consistent grace, one that allows us to toil in self-denial to help our children, to be in prayer for them, to be in the book of Proverbs for them. Even older men and women in the book of Proverbs to learn how to deal with our grandchildren, how to give wisdom, how to get wisdom for ourselves. And we need to be students of James chapter 1 asking for wisdom constantly. He says, ask. You don't receive because you don't ask. But if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. But as long as you believe, as long as you don't have looking backwards, you look forward and say, I believe. I want wisdom. I know you'll give it to me, Lord. Whatever I need to do, you'll give it to me. And so Paul was a man of wisdom, but a man who gave everything he had for these people. Look at verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. Notice the Paul's appeal. These three ambassadors, they were witnesses to these characteristics. Paul knows that a man's judgment's not perfect, so he says, you are witnesses, and God also. See, God judges the heart. God knows our hearts. We can't get any away from God. He knows everything in our hearts. We need to get our hearts right. I love the short hymn, change my heart, O God. Because we got changed hearts when we came to Christ, but we need to continually have our hearts changed, have it sanctified, and we need to appeal to God for that. And for man who looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. Paul was confident that he and his companions, they were devout. They modeled a devout life, a life of holiness, a life separated to God. The word holy means separated for service to God, separated unto him. We were separated when we were saved unto him. And we continue to be sanctified, separated from the world, from the world system, to God and his service. Are you, is that your motive, to serve God? Whether you're a father, mother, single, man, woman. They acted justly and righteously. They were obedient to the word of God. They were not hypocrites. They were real men. Are we real before God, asking him for his help and what we need, striving to be obedient? They acted blamelessly. They were a testimony of Christ to the people. There was nothing the people could accuse them of, for they imitated Christ. We need to imitate Christ. We need to be in the Gospels to see Christ, all of us, to see Christ. Verse 11 is the methods employed by Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And it is clear that Paul assumes that exactly what a Christian father should do. This is the verse that changed my life and my understanding of what a father is to be. Read verse 11. As you know, how we exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you as a father does his children. For Paul, a father who truly loves Christ and loves others as Paul and his company loved the people they were living with, this father will of necessity, will positively and obediently do what is modeled here for the Thessalonians. These people were dear to them. They loved them. They sacrificed for them. They preached to them. They loved them as a mother loves her child. They loved them as a father loves his children, not discouraging them. For Paul knew that these people, these were children in the faith. These were many perhaps immature. That's why Paul will write to the Ephesians in chapter 6, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Guilty. Guilty. That's why we need to pray and ask for a disposition of the heart to be gentle, not discouraging our children. But train them in the admonition of the Lord. Children are immature. They need tender care. I was not properly taught these things till I came to grace, and even then I needed to grow in true grace. We must follow Paul's example, brethren, which we read in our text, and specifically in this verse 11. I want you to notice they exhorted, they admonished, they encouraged, and they charged, or they implored them to see Christ as a Christian father surely does his own children. It was assumed that this is what a father does. An assumption is like a command. If the Bible assumes you're doing it, it's a command. But they didn't just do it as a group, even to the children. They didn't just treat them as one. It says they were with individually. They met with them. says when you, it says here, as you know, we exhorted, comfort, and charge every one of you, each child, knowing what they need, knowing what they need in Christ. And if you're not a Christian this morning and you're a father, you don't know the truth. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. And so you'll not understand this word that even I'm speaking to you today. And you will not glorify God. And you will not plead with your children to flee to Christ. If you went to a church that said that what you do is how you get to heaven, or whether you were baptized, it's all heresy. It's all about fleeing to Christ. Have you fled to Christ? Are you in Christ? Not were you baptized, not how many good things you think you did, because everything we do apart from Christ is as filthy rags, that God says. Every motive we have is selfish. And when we become Christians, we see our selfishness, don't we? We didn't see it before we became a Christian. We thought this is the way you live. Well, look at the world. Everything is about me. There's even a magazine called Us. It's about us. Everything's about me. It's about us. It's not about me, and it's about everyone else. That's what Paul thought. It's not about me. It's about everybody else. And he preached the gospel that we need to repent of our sins and come to Christ in faith alone, in Christ alone. If you're not covered by the blood of Christ, you don't have salvation. The blood of Jesus covers us for our sins. We receive the righteousness of Christ when we, by faith, come to him. We don't have our own righteousness. We need his. We come to him in faith, and he gives us what we don't have. Are you in Christ this morning? Especially if you're a father or a mother. Are you in Christ? But all of you, because you're going to have to teach your children. And some of you need to teach the children here who are more immature in faith. We all need to exhort, to edify, to build up one another in the faith. That's what we're here for. And so we need to do that. And so, brethren, friends, I admonish you, I encourage you to flee to Christ if you don't have him now. Finally, brethren, the goal of Paul's method is found in verse 12. He says here, all those whom he gave his love to, his time, his toil, his example, was that they would walk worthy of God, who called them into his kingdom and his glory. Let's read verses 11 and 12 again before we close. As you know how we exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The goal is, that's what the goal for Paul was, that they would walk worthy of the gospel that was preached to them, that they were came to in faith. God loves us with an everlasting love. And everything that he does in our lives, he does for our good. So, and that we should look to him, we should love him and walk worthy of the calling that we have, whether you're married, single, whatever. The method of the preaching of the word, whether it be in your home as a father, as a mother, whether it be here speaking to one another, true fellowship is not about sports, although I love sports. You want to talk about golf? I'll talk about it all day. But that's not what it's about. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about building his church, whether it's building your children, whether it's building up one another, with being gentle, being forgiving. All of that is building up one another in the church for the ultimate motive that we would walk worthy of the calling that we have. He expects us to continually exhort and admonish our children to flee the wrath to come, to read the scriptures with them, to tell them about sin, tell them, but also tell them about the great love of Christ. We don't want to put them down. We want to build them up in Christ. And as I said before, I told you before that you wouldn't get hurt doing that with your children or anyone else. I just heard a story the other day. A father who kept telling his child he had to come to church, he had to come to church. And the kid came to church. Finally, the kid got fed up, took the gun and shot him. But he didn't shoot him in the body, shot him in the leg. The father continued to exhort this young man after even being shot. Today, they worship together. They worship together in the church and they serve together in the church. If you want to get shot in order to have your kids serve, fine. We're all going to suffer for Christ. We're all going to suffer for Christ in one way or another. So whatever you have to do to suffer for your children, fathers, do it. Stand by your man, mom, in this exhortation. Don't challenge his authority. Don't do it in front of the children. If you have to do it, if you disagree, do it somewhere else and agree to come back and do what's right for the children. Don't ever show the children that you're not unified together as husbands and wives. You single people, remember what I just said. Don't ever criticize one another in front of your children. Guilty. But keep that. Remember that. It is so important that we continue to edify our children in front of one another. Do not exhort fathers in an angry or ungodly way. Again, we're not the kings of our castle. Jesus Christ is the king of our castle. We are not. So when you speak of sin and its consequences, speak to them about comfort their souls. Paul says he comforted them. He comforted them in the gospel. He comforted them in what God would do for them if they repented of their sins. And the glorious thing that Jesus Christ has done in his atonement and his justification and receipt and his free righteousness that he gives. This is what we need to encourage our children in and encourage one another. If you've been justified, if you've been sanctified, if you're adopted into the family of God, you're elect, called by God, you need to walk worthy of the gospel by his grace. And you need to seek him. That should be our motives. And we must continue to implore our children, brethren. It says in Psalm 103, it says, as a father pities his children, our father pities us. Our heavenly father pities each one of us because he knows we're dust. It says, the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. Whenever we're dealing with one another, with our children, one another, remember, our father pities us. We need to pity one another because we're, what are we? Dust. And God loves you and me who are dust. He created out of the dust. It's amazing love. How can it be that he would die just for me and for you? If we don't have that in our souls, brethren, it's going to be, we're not going to do what we need to do. So I say to you, this morning, take Paul's motives and his methods from this text seriously. He was single, but his motherly and fatherly instincts were a result of his love for God and his love for the kingdom of God and his love for all those who God put in his path. He did not hold back. He did not have the responsibilities of being a husband with a wife and family. But that did not stop him from laboring night and day for the kingdom of God. Brethren, we don't have to do that necessarily physically. We can do it laboring in prayer for the kingdom of God, for his church, to edify and build us up and grow us, continue to have us walk worthy of the God who called us into his kingdom and into his glory. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us to walk worthy of you, to look at the motives that Paul had for the kingdom of God, to look at the methods that he had, Lord, for building up children in the faith, building and edifying one another. We pray, oh God, that you would help us to love each other more. Wives, husbands, love each other more, loving the children more. Children, loving your parents, honoring them. Singles, men, women, loving the brethren, praying for them, seeking to build them up in the faith in any way that we can, encouraging them by being under the means of grace, oh God, we pray. Help us all to, when we think about ourselves and what we are doing, we pray that our motive would be to please you, to glorify you, and to walk worthy of you, we pray. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.